Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the AfriCast. My name is Brendan Lotz, and joining me in studio today is Robin Chetty.
Howdy.
Clinton Matos.
Hello again.
And myself, Brendan Lotz. And we were absent a bit last week. It was a bit of a crazy week. Clinton had laryngitis.
Yes.
Which none of us wanted, if we're honest. So we took a bit of a break. And it was just a crazy week,
life,
actually.
Just life happened.
Just life. Yeah. Just life in general. Right. Robin. You, on Tuesday, went to a Comic-Con event.
Yeah.
Not Comic-Con itself, though. Let's just be clear. If you're listening to this, you have not missed Comic-Con. Also, if you do hear a bit of background noise, there's just an aircon in WeWork that we are not able to
hear. Yeah, we're not. So, we don't know how to
Sorry.
Turn it off. We don't know if we're allowed to. We don't know
Robin,
what's going on.
Tell us about Comic-Con. What can we expect?
Yeah, so that event that you mentioned was a media launch, for lack of a better term. And as you will probably know, Comic-Con this year is a day longer. It's over 4 days, and it's happening from the 21st to 24th of September. So in a few weeks' time. So
yeah.
The media launch was kind of focused on some of the events they have planned and some of the changes they've made for this year's Comic-Con.
Sorry, just the date again? The
21st to the 24th.
Okay, so that means it runs from the Saturday to the Tuesday.
Yeah, so
don't make the mistake I did where you thought there was still a Friday showing. There isn't.
If I remember correctly, the Tuesday is Heritage Day. So that's kind of why they're assuming that a lot of people will take their Monday off.
Yeah. Just go to Comic-Con every day.
I'm not sure if we will be doing that every day.
No, yeah.
So they kind of had an event to just focus on what changes have been brought around for this year's Comic-Con. Obviously, the big one is a change of venue.
Yeah.
Last year, it was at the Kailami Racetrack, or the convention center that's within the Kailami Racetrack. And this year, they moved to the Gallagher Estate Convention Center, which is a far bigger venue. I think one of the things that the MD for Reed Pop, who handle not only Comic-Con in Africa, but Comic-Cons and those kind of expos
around the world.
The MD, Carol Weaving, was kind of mentioning to us that they were initially expecting 30,000 people to attend last year's Comic-Con.
Yeah.
They got 49,000.
Oh, okay.
So it was good in the sense that there was...
They made more money.
Yeah, true. But obviously that led to a lot of issues around parking, around space for attendees to walk around the expo. And
I mean, you can't blame them. It's your first time.
Yeah,
you think
sure.
you're gonna underguess how many people are going to arrive.
Yeah, there are obviously going to be a lot of teething problems, especially for a expo of this nature. I mean... I think it's pretty well documented that it's around about the same time that Rages.
Yeah.
And there's always a bit of concern about which event is going to get bigger traffic and things like that. In my personal view, it looks like Comic-Con is very quickly becoming the more prestigious, for lack of a better term, event than the other one.
Sorry, other one.
Yeah, sorry. I'm just trying to be honest here.
Guys, it's not Rage. It's a Vodacom Rage. Okay.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, right.
Sorry, Vodacom Rage.
Get flipping sued for life.
So aside from the venue change, what else can we expect?
Yeah, so there's I would assume better planning. So what they have now
That shade, eh?
Speaking of shade, they say they're going to be a lot more shaded areas.
That was weird because when Robin got back, he's kind of giving all of us a recap, and I thought that was a weird thing to kind of tell people, because from going there, the problem really wasn't shade. The biggest problem with the shade was because the parking was so far away from the venue, you had to do like a proper 15 to 30 minute walk to get to the venue. That's when you needed shade.
And it took almost 3 to 4 times as long as to actually get to your parking if you went there early enough. So I think that's one of the...
I got there 2 hours before the event started, and I still had to park 25 minutes away.
Should have flashed your meter pass, man.
I tried, okay? Anyway, so that was the problem, but I didn't hear anyone complaining about shade once they were actually in the convention center.
So I think that might have been the fact that we were there on the Friday.
Mm.
On the Saturday, for example, if you guys remember, there was like a food court area.
Yeah.
They ran out of food pretty quickly, obviously because they... estimated how many people are coming. Also, there wasn't enough shaded area for people to actually sit and relax a bit while
they're eating. Because it's a racetrack.
Yes. I think that's one of the reasons that prompted the change. I think also, if you guys remember, the artist alley, which was in this like kind of tented area.
It was
crazy hot inside there.
Yeah. They had a giant, I don't know what you'd even call it. It was like an aircon unit, but instead of being an aircon unit, it was just a huge fan blowing
hot air onto you.
It was actually hilarious because when you went in there, like, damn, it's hot. And as you got got closer to the back, you're like, oh, it's getting cooler, but it's also getting louder for some reason.
Oh, as there's a huge closer, fan.
There's these huge machines blowing air into these tents. It wasn't ideal.
Another issue that they mentioned was there was a upper tier to the Comic-Con where I think a couple of stands were specifically gaming product stands. That area had to be cordoned off purely for the fact that there were so many people inside there and they couldn't actually move around freely. And
well, I mean, I was at the Kailami Convention Center a little bit after Comic-Con for a separate event. And when that event was happening there, like, it wasn't massive, but there were a lot of people. And I just looked at it and I was like, how did these people think that Comic-Con was going to fit in here? Like,
well, I mean, again, like Robin said, they underestimated how many people were going to come.
19,000 extra
people. Yeah, fair enough. At least they've realized, okay, no, this venue was too small. We need it to be a little bit bigger and moved it to Gallagher.
For this year's one, there's 7 halls, like I mentioned. They're also going to be, I guess, divided up a bit more easily. There's going to be a specific cosplay area for your cosplayer to... Cosplay. And then there's going to be Artist Alley as well, that you'll have a lot of local artists, international artists coming there for you to sign, for you to be able to sign, get stuff signed from them.
Because they've also brought in a lot more professional cosplayers. Aside from just local ones who are going to be showing up, there's if you download Apple, look on their website, there's a lot of people who they're actually paying to come to the event.
Yeah, there's also... one of the announcements made yesterday was the Kids Con. So essentially Comic Con, but for kids.
Name. Oh, cool.
So that was one of the issues that I had with it. I just wanted to find out what the kind of the logistics of it were, because obviously quite recently there was a big high profile kidnapping and safety and things and things are a big concern for parents.
Yeah.
What they've mentioned is that there will be security for the KidCon area, like a higher level security.
So that's what I wanted to ask you, Robin. As far as I understand it, KidCon is a separate area.
Yeah, it's separate from the rest of the... So what they want to do, I guess, is twofold. One is that when you have cosplayers who sometimes are provocatively dressed, or you have games which are quite violent and stuff like that, have 16, 18-year-old age restrictions and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You want to ensure that your little tiddlywinks aren't seeing stuff that they shouldn't be seeing, which is fair enough. I think also one of the aspects around security that they mentioned was each child will have a bracelet with their parents or whoever, their guardians... contact number on it. Okay. So if they are lost, they can go to a Comic-Con representative and get... Hopefully get...
Obviously, you don't need to leave your kids there. You could take them into the con.
Yeah, they're mentioning that it's kind of like a day out for the family kind of thing. So I think they are intending... They're not just dropping off. It's not a kindergarten.
What I wanted to ask you, Robin. Is this... can you do that? Are there facilities to pay someone to watch your child if you want to go look at that other stuff?
It's not, for example, you just hand it over to a person and say, look after my kid for 2 hours.
It's just a kids-focused, cordoned-off part of Comic-Con. Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. So that's a kids' con. Another thing that they also punted on, and you mentioned earlier, was the app. If you're planning... Your day for Comic-Con, it's a good idea to use the app. You can kind of see it.
Gallagher is huge.
Yeah, it's pretty expansive. So kind of plan out where you're going to be going, where you're going to be heading, and also kind of seeing what events are happening. Going to be a big esports focus as well at the event. So yeah.
And obviously the panels that take place and all that sort of stuff.
So one of the big, topics this year is the business of gaming. So esports... kind of getting your creator profile.
Esports in the fourth industrial revolution.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's mentioned there.
I'm telling you, it's going to be.
Everybody mentions it. It's the law.
Yeah, so I think if you're interested in that aspect of the gaming industry, there'll be a lot of talks focused on that. So I think one of the things I also mentioned was a Wakanda-themed watering hole.
Oh, my God. They messed up the chance last year to make the whole thing Wakanda-themed, okay? I still can't believe they didn't do it this year. What's this watering hole? I'll complain about this another time.
I think it's refreshment-based.
So it's just literally like, okay, we'll come here to get water and then Wakanda forever and walk away.
Well, I doubt it'll be water. It'll probably be something fizzy or carbonated.
Or what's it? What is the material? I forget its name.
The heart-shaped herb.
No, man, not that. The actual metal vibranium that comes from there. That's it, vibranium.
You can't drink vibranium.
Why not?
My suggestion to drink the imaginary herb was ridiculous, but eating the metal is much more...
I'm thinking like a
people eat aeroplanes all the time.
No, just because that one guy did it in the early 2000s, okay? So the thing I was saying is last year a lot of people were saying that because Black Panther was such a huge success, they should have just made the whole of Comic-Con Black Panther themed.
That would have been really
cool. Happening in Africa. A lot of the actors who are in the movie
are South African.
Yeah, they either are South African or they live in Africa, and it would have been cheaper to have them attend. And they like just pay Marvel for the license.
But when
is
Black Panther 2 coming out?
2022? Like 2020, yeah, it's far away.
I don't know.
So if you guys are listening, Reed Pop, please, for that 2022 Africa Comic Con, make it Wakanda themed.
Or is it Cape? Would it be Cape Town Comic Con Africa?
I hope not. I think there's a larger pool of geeks, as it were, in Joburg than there are.
Didn't Vodacom Rage try to do Cape Town?
They did, and it failed. Bad. Well, that was before Vodacom got involved. Yeah, that was lack of interest.
I think the Cape Town one's happening in May next year. Yeah, if I remember correctly. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's weird because Rage. Vodacom Rage. It was kind of an institution. Everyone was like, please, we need it anywhere else but Joburg. And then they brought it somewhere else. And then they're like,
No, it's fine.
Yeah, I think there's also been a few. There was another con. It was called Comic Con, but it wasn't official.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I remember that.
And that didn't really go down as well.
Well, people were angry about that. I remember, like, this was what, like 2013, 14? Like, somebody just, I'm going to host a Comic-Con. Yeah. Well, have you got any of the licenses? Nope. I'm just going to have comics on a table and you can come and buy them.
I'm also confused because sometimes the official Comic-Con name has a hyphen in it and sometimes it doesn't. Like, our local one doesn't, right? But I think the big San Diego Comic-Con does have a hyphen in it. It's very weird.
I think it might have had something to do with the fact that Comic-Con
happened
in Cape Town,
which wasn't
an official Comic-Con, but I think probably licensed the name Comic-Con.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I've noticed as well, all the social media handles are different for Comic-Con.
Yeah.
it could also be because some websites allow hyphens in names and some don't.
Well, I think the Instagram is like Comic-Con Africa _official or something like that. It's like, why?
I love it when the social media profiles put official on it, because then you know.
I also love when they have like the real.
Oh, yeah.
Is it some the celebrities real. Have it, the real whoever. They've just
the real Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Wow, yeah. They're like 50 other people.
Well, there probably are about 1,000 different other Dwayne The Rock Johnsons pretending to be him.
Anyway, is there anything else we need to know about Comic-Con Africa before the end of the month?
At this stage, not really. I think there was another announcement. If you like KFC. KFC is going to be a big sponsor there.
Cool.
So that was announced.
Like a delivery service kind of thing.
That was announced like after you went to this event. What are they doing? What?
So, you know, obviously there's like Mr. D and Uber Eats and stuff like that. Just delivery services for takeaway. KFC are doing their own one.
But KFC. But what does it have to do with Comic Con? Exclusively. It does. I'm not even joking. Like, you can't order KFC through anything else. But
look, those
Uber
kind of
Eats.
Questions are above my pay grade.
Okay.
But what does it have to do with Comic Con?
You read comics while eating chicken.
I've never once in my life done that.
They had one of the marketing executives from KFC South Africa talking, and there's all big spiel about
gamers
when you're
love
games.
Wings.
You don't want to break from the game.
Oh my god! I just want the food in my mouth. I don't want to have to stop. You know, when I'm in a gaming mood.
Well, I mean, do we even want chicken? Maybe you know what's that?
X-gamer fuel.
There's also that like synthetic food, like smoothie stuff.
Soylent Green, yeah.
You know,
let's do that.
Why won't a pharmaceutical company just sell me an IV bag that I can pop into my vein? I don't know why they need to mess around with this whole solid food business. It's ridiculous.
Okay, all right. So that's Comic-Con Africa coming to you at the end of the month. It is once again...
save up your money,
the 21st to the 24th. Of September. Mm-hmm. Like Robin says, save up your money. There'll be stuff to buy. There will be autographs to get. There will be panels to attend.
Also, maybe buy your tickets because they sold out last year.
Yeah.
And again, they're probably going to make provision for there to just be more tickets.
Do not wait until the day and hope that, I'll just get tickets there. Yeah. You will not get tickets at the venue. So 21st to 24th of September, we'll definitely see you there. Yep.
And we'll be covering it. So if you can't make it, if you don't live in Joburg, if you don't live in South Africa, we'll have you covered.
Yeah. All right. So, Clinton, you've been playing Deus Ex Machina.
No, that's something else. I can't even introduce this game because I'm going to get... Okay, so there's a new Nintendo Switch exclusive coming out. I thought it was pronounced Demon Ex Machina. But apparently, some trailers, official trailers, pronounce it Daemon because it's got an A in it. So I think the name of the game is Daemon Ex Machina. even though the X is just the letter X and not EX. Anyway, okay. It's the new Mac game, yes.
Is it not Damon Cross Machina?
Maybe. See, I don't know. It's
a collaboration, I think.
Because I watch... I don't know. Okay, it's one of these games. I've been playing it. I'm going to give you my some words about it.
The name doesn't matter too much.
Now, I'm not going to give you everything I know about this game because the review embargo hasn't lifted. This is going to be a preview.
Okay.
So I'm going to tell you about the beginning part of the game. I can tell you now I've put in about 7 hours. And the game has a...
what sort of game is it first?
It's a mech game. I'm going to get to that, Brendan. Okay. But I have to tell you, I have to give you some preamble.
No, there's no preamble. Let's just get into it.
It's called a primer, Brendan. So the game has this ranking system where you start off as an unranked mercenary in a mech, which I'll get to, Brendan. And then you need to work your way through the grades of being a mercenary. And I just got to rank B. And I think the game's going to get to rank A and then finish, but because this is a Japanese game, it might go to rank S and then SS and then triple S.
So, like Devil May Cry.
Yeah, okay. Because the rank S is very popular with Japanese games.
Super sexy.
Yeah, so I'm at 7 hours now. I don't know how many more hours there's going to be, but it looks like there's a lot of content in this game. But that's where I am with it now, and I'll have a full review when the embargo lifts later this month, closer to release. So, what is it? It is a mech game, like Brendan said. A lot of people have said this is a spiritual successor to Armored Core and Flippin' Owl. It really is. If you watch any of the gameplay, and then when I did actually sit down and play it, I was like, yeah, I can definitely see how this is Armored Core. It's a third-person mech game, and the controls are basically very simple. It's a twin-stick shooter. You move around, you aim with the other stick, and then each of your arms has a weapon on it. And then you can customize that however you want. You know, if you want to go really close range, you can just like fly around with two swords. Very anime, right? You can get two machine guns, or you can do the default ones like a machine gun and a shield. So you have extra protection. And then you also have, they call them pylons. It's your big like back weapons.
Mm-hmm.
So at any time you can switch out whatever two weapons are on your arms, right? You can just switch them at any time. So if you got your two swords and then somebody's really far away, you can switch out one of the swords for
a weapon, a gun.
Yeah, like a sniper rifle, yeah. Or if you want to burn someone down, get a flamethrower, something like that. And then you also have a shoulder weapon. So it's usually a missile launcher. It's very standard stuff.
Yeah.
And it's easy to play, and then they slowly introduce more mechanics, like there's something called Femto. It's basically an energy bar that slowly ticks up, and then you can spend it to create a copy of yourself to act as a decoy so you don't lose health. You can use it to boost your damage, and then you can fill that up with stuff around the environment. There's nothing too special in terms of the gameplay here, and I'm not saying that as a slight against the game. I'm just saying if you have any interest in mech games, when you sit down and play this, you'll very quickly get the hang of it. It's a little fiddly when you first get it because it's just not entirely intuitive, because you've got one weapon for each arm, right? But then you only have one shoulder weapon. And then your boost, you know, to go faster is on one of the other shoulder buttons, but then the other one is to use your missile launcher. So it's a bit confusing, but you get it after about 60 minutes. And I like the combat. The problem with it is I don't see why this needed to be a mech game. And what I mean by that is you can fly indefinitely. These aren't mechs that are landbound. You can hover with jets, and you can do that for as long as you want. And after, you know, you sit down to play it for 45 minutes or an hour, and you kind of forget that you're playing a mech game. You're just like, oh, I'm a jet, right? Or something like that. I'm some kind of flying vehicle.
I am Anthem.
Yeah. No, Brendan, please, no. I don't... And because of that, and because your mechs are so small and light... You lose the kind of the physicality of it, right? It was strange because the last game I reviewed was actually Metal Wolf Chaos XD, and that game had a great sense of your mech being big and heavy, and it had a presence in the world. And yes, it was a bit on the slow side, but that added to the effect that, you know, you had power in the world and you could bash through things and everything. And in Daemon X Machina, or however it's pronounced, you feel very light and inconsequential, and I think they just went for the mech angle because mechs are cool, right?
Yeah.
And I can't fault that. I mean, you can track down some of the stories I've written about other games that feature mechs. I really like them. But what are they doing in this game? Another thing they do, again, you see this in the Armored Core franchise, is that you can customize your, they call them ex-arsenals. It's very weird, because like an arsenal is kind of a plural word.
Yeah.
But the arsenal applies to the one mech. Anyway, so you can change, each arm can be different. Your head can be different. You can change the body. And then say like, again, you like doing melee, you can specifically take a right arm piece of equipment that is good for melee, and then on your right, on your left arm, if you want to do a sniper rifle, you can take an arm that's specifically good for sniper rifles, right?
Okay.
So there's that kind of customize...
like min-maxing almost.
Yes. But the problem is, I think this game is too easy to solve, right? There's two problems aside from that. One, it's too easy to solve. And two, it's the way this game does unlocks. Now, this is actually something they mentioned in the marketing material, where the way you get unlocks isn't really by finishing missions, and it isn't really by buying it, even though you can buy a very limited amount of equipment. The way you get unlocks is by defeating enemies and basically looting their corpse. You find a downed arsenal, you go up to it and you inspect it, and then you present it with some of the equipment it has. And then you can see, oh, he's got a sniper rifle, I like sniper rifles, I might take this. But then he's also got a new, you know, not helmet, but like a head part. And I haven't upgraded my head in a long time, so I'm going to take that one. And then you can only choose one. So you have that choice every time. And I know a lot of people don't like this way of handling upgrades. I can't remember what other game did it like this. Yeah, there's a few games who do it like this, where the only way you get big upgrades is by beating enemies and looting their corpses.
Well, I mean, Destiny pretty much does that.
Yeah, to a degree.
Yeah.
I mean, I was thinking more of something like... what was it that I just played recently? Slay the Spire, where you defeat a boss and you get a choice of like one upgrade sort of thing.
And it also, you get that feeling of you kind of missed out, right? Because...
Oh, I should have taken the sniper rifle.
Yeah, what if... And then what if you get the sniper rifle and then it's just not as good, or it doesn't work how you expected it to? Because you don't know until you get it and then you go and use it in the next mission, or you go back to your hangar and you use it in the testing rounds that they have there.
Surely that kind of adds to the replayability, though.
Sure, fine. Sure. But people are going to feel like they're missing out, right?
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, and the way the game kind of manages this is that you can... I think you're supposed to watch what the other arsenals are doing while you're fighting them.
Mm.
And if you're seeing, okay, he keeps nailing me with this missile launcher and it's really good, when I defeat him and I see that missile launcher, I'm going to take it. And
yeah.
I'm going to ignore the armor and everything because I really want the missile launcher. And then the other thing they do is that there are a lot of non-compulsory missions you can do. They're called, I think, free missions.
Yeah.
And they are basically to get more equipment and also to get more credits, because as I'll get to the story at the end, because I think it's the worst part of the game. Mm. The free missions don't contribute to that, and they're just kind of to get more resources and stuff like that. So the story here is terrible. It starts with the moon exploding and everything turns red, and then they introduce you to this new world where mercenaries fly around in arsenals and they work for corporations. And the corporations all managed by this AI called Four, and Four sends you on missions, but then you go into missions and then the AI is acting funny and it sends you on weird missions and something's going on.
And let me guess, the AI is the bad guy at the end.
Well, I don't know yet. And then you don't know the true intent of some of the other mercenaries, and some of them are fighting for their families, but some of them are doing it for honor. And my God, it's bad. The voice acting it's really bad. I don't know another way to be kinder about it. It's flat out bad. And it's paced really badly as well. Like, someone will be reading the line. I have it page out here. It's like, it was the greatest disaster in recorded history. The moon tore apart. And they just read their lines like that. And I'm thinking, why did you include this voice acting if it wasn't up to par? Maybe the Japanese... you know, one is better because this is a Japanese game. And then on top of that, they also have non-voice acted parts where people communicate via text.
Oh, no.
And I'm thinking, if you have that part already programmed into the game and it's such a big part, there's a lot of text to read, why didn't you just leave out the voice acting or put less voice acting in and only choose the good, important parts to watch? And this game is probably 50% not actually playing the game. I'm not even joking. I spend probably 2 hours and I've started, I'm not afraid to say I'm starting to skip cutscenes because they go on and they interrupt your gameplay to the point where it's about a 50-50 or 60-40 split of cutscenes to gameplay.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous how much time they take away. And this would be fine if the cutscenes were good or the stories was worth telling or was interesting, but neither of those things were true. So you're flying through the air with your arsenal, you're having fun shooting stuff, and they're like, nope, we need to talk about, I need to fight for my family, I need these credits, my arsenal. And I'm like, I don't care, no one cares. And you give it a chance in the beginning, you watch it for like 3 hours, you're like, is anything going to change? Is this going to get any bit? Like, no, 7 hours in, it's still the same shtick. And it's so frustrating because it keeps repeating itself. It really feels like it talks down to you because one of the big things it does is, mercenaries aren't supposed to be fighting each other. They're supposed to be fighting this AI that's going around terrorizing, a bad AI, right? And then, but every second mission is...
You fighting a mercenary.
Yeah, my AI told me I needed to go here, but your AI told me here, there must be a mistake, but because this is anime BS, we're going to have to fight first, but then we'll be friends at the end anyway.
It's the greatest betrayal.
It's exactly like that. It's every bad anime Japanese game trope all rolled into one, and it's just so frustrating, and it's disappointing because... The gameplay doesn't really make up from that. You know, I might have sounded like I was quite positive towards it, but it kind of gets repetitive because, like I said, even though it's fun to experiment with, you know, your weapon loadouts, eventually you just kind of figure out either what you like best or what works best. And I find out that the best way to win this game is just to go for max close range damage because the only way this game knows how to increase difficulty is either to make the enemies bullet sponges or to make them move extremely fast, and 90% of the time the other arsenals you fight are both. So the other arsenals have a stamina system like you do, and you basically just have to weather their attacks until they run out of stamina, they drop to the ground, and then you just get up close and you wreck them. And then you do that about 10 times until it's over. So, yeah, I have a lot of problems with this game. I think I'm about halfway done, but I'm not sure. I'll have a full review next week. I don't think it's going to win me over before then. I hope it does, but it's not looking good. And that's going to be Daemon X Machina or Cross Machina.
DXM.
Yeah, DX, that's what we're going to call it. And then people get it confused with DSM. So, okay, next thing. Brandon, right. You, tell
so,
us.
Today I'm going to be spreading bad news. Well, it's only really bad news.
More bad news, I guess.
If you're in the US. we have our own issues to deal with here in South Africa, but let's talk about the US at the moment. At the weekend, on the 1st of September, actually, the US government... added a whole bunch of tax to a new category of products. So this category of products is called List 4A, and they have had a 15% tariff added onto. Well, is it when you are let's say a DJI. This will come into effect later. If you're a DJI and you want to sell products in the States, you now have to pay the government a 15% tariff on that sale. So the list is called List 4A. It includes smartwatches, fitness trackers, lithium-ion batteries, desktop computers, cameras, and a whole bunch of other electronics.
All the cool things.
All the cool things that you want. And essentially what this means is that if you are a Chinese company that is selling products in the States, it is about to get a lot more expensive for you to do this. This is not the first round of tariffs. We've already seen this happen earlier this year. And then we've also seen the States essentially say to US companies that they are not allowed to do business with certain Chinese companies, i.e. Google being told that they can't work with Huawei anymore. And the net result of that is that Huawei's future in terms of using the Android operating system is very uncertain at this point in time. So, also, this will not be the last of tariffs to be added. Apparently, CNBC reports that in December, people will see their tariffs added to smartphones, laptops, and video game consoles as well. And that is a very, very big point to note because next year we're expecting the next generation of consoles.
Yeah.
And as far as I'm aware, they're all manufactured in China or Asia at the very least. is PlayStation is a Japanese company. Microsoft is a US company, fair enough, but I don't believe that they manufacture the consoles stateside. Yeah. I could be wrong, and I do stand to be corrected. But yeah, I mean, if you have something that's electronic, the chances are good that it is a that it comes from China, because that is where the electronics of the world get manufactured, mm-hmm. in one little area called Shenzhen. Seriously, look it up. It's very, very fascinating. But now, the net result of this is already being felt. DJI, just yesterday on Tuesday, announced that they would be upping a number of their prices because of these tariffs. Prices have gone up by as much as like 13% in some instances. It seems like the big victims here are the Mavic 2 Pro range, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, you wrote the story. The Mavic 2, the Mavic 2 Pro range. And I think this is very interesting. Just as an aside, I went and did a bit of quick maths and compared prices of DJIs in the States versus here in South Africa. And it's still cheaper to buy in the States, even though they are now more expensive. Anyway, so this is very interesting, because what I want to talk about is how this could affect the rest of the world, right? Sure, China now has to the 15% tariff to the States, but I think that that's a lot more than people realize, especially when you are bringing in billions of dollars worth of products. I mean, DJI drones are not cheap. If you bring in like 15 of those, that's a lot of money that you have to pay to the US government. And I do wonder how this is going to sit with other nations, or just China itself. Is China going to just simply say, well, you know what, I don't want to do business with you anymore, because it's not in our financial best interest to do so? It's fiscally irresponsible to do business with you. Beyond that, what's going to happen with your major players in the electronics space? I mean, like Apple. Let's just look at Apple, right? Apple's got a new phone coming out later this month, and we don't know whether it's going to be more expensive to get hold of that phone, and we should, I would suspect that it's going to be.
Yeah, I think a couple of weeks ago, Tim Apple.
Yeah, Tim Apple, the CEO of Apple.
He actually had talks with Trump and mentioned the fact that their current trade war is going to severely affect pricing for iPhones in future. Yeah. So,
and I mean, the knock-on effect of that is, if it's more expensive in the US, it's going to be more expensive here, and I mean, last year...
They're already pretty expensive.
Yeah, and I mean, last year, Apple was like, oh, we're becoming a trillion-dollar company. And they posted, I think it was revenue. Was it revenue or profits? I think it was revenue of... Total revenue of $1 trillion. I'm like talking from memory here.
Yeah, I think it was them and Alphabet are the first ones.
Yeah, the first US company to hit a trillion valuation. Oh, it was I think total market capitalization is $1 trillion. And now you have a situation where Apple relies on manufacturers in China and Korea and other parts of Asia, South Pacific. And what are they going to do? You know, I understand that people love their Apple devices, but I think that love stops at a certain price point.
Well, I mean, you've already seen it start to wane a bit, because they're not actually pulling in the numbers that they were previously.
Absolutely.
The past few quarters already, they're posting losses on the iPhone side of the business.
Yeah, which is strange, because that's always been the number one driver of their revenue. Mm-hmm. I mean, things like the iPad, the iMacs, the MacBooks, those things, they just don't bring in as much money as the iPhone. Now your biggest moneymaker is being threatened by an orange president who doesn't want to deal with... That's a really good name for him.
I'm pretty sure they call him the Tariff Man.
The Tariff Man. and who has a trade war going on with China. And I still don't understand why he hates China so much, and why he doesn't want them to do business with the US. But yeah, I think that the effects of this are going to be far-reaching. I think, Clinton, you and I were talking about this a little bit earlier today.
Yeah,
about
the podcast.
Yeah, about like whether these companies would just up and leave. I mean, if I was Apple, I would simply go, well, I don't want to be a US company anymore, because I'm having to pay 15% extra on everything that I import.
We were also speaking about how is that going to affect us in South Africa, because we're not privy to what happens to goods before they arrive in the country. We're worried that for whatever reason, if some kind of good has to go from China to the US and then to South Africa, we're going to get hit by those tariffs, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Even though we're not Americans, just because of that route, it's going to hit us. And
because, I mean, it's something you have to pay for. I think, like, exactly. People are going to say, oh, but it's unfair. But, I mean, like, if it's on the route of delivery, like, if Apple makes its phones in China and those phones then get shipped to the US, there's a 15% tariff on there. Then, if they have to be shipped to the US, Apple's not going to make a loss of 15%. They're going to add that onto the cost and say, well, you need to pay for that.
And then what happens if Apple, an American company, gets an iPhone made in China and then that iPhone goes right from China to South Africa? Do we then have to pay tariffs that import?
Well, that's the thing, right?
It doesn't go to America, but it's an American company paying for it to be made in China, right?
And also, if I buy from Amazon and it ships from China, what happens then? Like, what happens in that instance? Because I'm buying from an American company, but it's being shipped from China. It's like, I think what is happening with this entire situation is everybody is confused, including Mr. Tariff Man himself. Okay? Like, somebody asked me the other day, should I wait for the Huawei Mate 30? Mate, I don't know. Like, I can't tell you that it's going to be running Google Android, well, Android with Google apps, with the Play Store and all that. I can't tell you because I don't know. And the fact of the matter is that I don't think a lot of people, I don't even think Huawei knows what's going on at this point in time. Like, what happens when they release their phone? What are they going to do then? Are we just going to get a piece of paper that says, please download the Play Store via this link? Like,
are they even allowed to include that piece?
I don't know, but this is the thing.
Are you allowed
to
include that?
As a customer, like, I'm kind of angry with Trump. A consumer, I'm kind of angry with Trump because he's thrown the entire consumer world into disarray because what? You want to prove that you're a superpower?
And the other thing is,
well done Trump, you did it, you're a superpower, cool, we acknowledge you, goodbye.
The other thing Brendan and I were talking about is where do companies go? Because you don't want to be in America because you're going to get taxed a lot and you're going to get tariffed. You don't want to be in the UK because they're a dumpster fire right now, and I can say that living in a dumpster fire right now because everything's on fire. So where do you go, right? Brendan and I were kind of discussing this, and I was saying South Korea because you're kind of in a, you know, in a first world country. You got a lot of the, you know, the amenities. A lot of people there speak English. They're very used to Western culture, but you're also close to places that do actually manufacture things. It still has a strong relationship with China, but it's just a bit dangerous there because it's close to North Korea.
I think it's quite interesting that you mentioned South Korea. I mean, I think probably the company that's going to be smarting after all of this is Samsung.
Yeah.
Huawei are number two in the world. Yeah. Apple are number three.
Yeah.
One's from China, one's from America. Both are kind of uncertain.
But Samsung's sitting pretty in South Korea.
All the operations are in South Korea. Yeah. The manufacturing is happening there. Well, most of the manufacturing is happening there. So they're sorted. Yeah, they could have a big end of the year.
There's no worry of their manufacturing or their operating system just being taken away from them overnight.
Yeah, so, and I mean, that's one of the things that they were plugging at the Note 10 launch.
We're very stable.
Yeah, we run Android apps. And I was like, well, I mean, that's becoming something that you have to sell now. You know, you have to tell people, like, well, you run Android apps. And yeah, I think, like you say, Robin, I think, like, Samsung is the one that's going to come out tops out of all of this. Like, sorry, Mr. Tariff Man and Apple and all these companies, like, you are going to get surpassed by Samsung. And I do wonder, and this is now where we get clever, is a company like Nokia and LG and Sony ready to take the space of those other companies that are now struggling?
I would argue against Sony, at least locally anyway, because their local presence is
waning.
Is gotten very poor of late. I think there is scope for someone like LG, not necessarily in the mobile space, but certainly like TVs and things like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Other electronics.
The thing is, don't all of them just still manufacture in China?
Well, I think a lot of the South Korean companies have the operations in South Korea.
I mean, I know Samsung has its own foundry. Samsung has its own factory system. Yeah. Samsung is, you know, Samsung makes concrete.
No, I know Samsung makes air conditioners, dude.
Samsung is a massive company.
Google Samsung. I think it's called the industry website, and then look at all the things they're involved. I'm going to do it right now while we speak.
Yeah,
I don't know why
crazy.
I'm telling people.
But yeah, so I think, like, if you think that the U.S. trade war with China is not something that affects you, I think you need to think again, number one, because it is going to affect you somewhere along the line. Whether that is pricing for products going up, or whether it is your favorite smartphone's operating system no longer being the operating system that you've grown to love. Like, these things are starting to affect you, and unfortunately, there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, it looks like it's shaping up to be a very lean Christmas.
I mean, we usually say, like, oh, you can comment on this bill here and you can comment on this here. But as somebody who's not in the United States, I have zero power over what that orange man is doing in the White House.
I think very few people in the United States have...
They do, because they have the power to vote. And
call your representative.
Representative and talk to your lobbyist. I don't know what these things are. But I think that the only people that have the power to change are the states. And the states are so caught up with everything that doesn't matter. Like, let's allow more guns in Texas. Let's police XYZ instead of ABC. Like, I just think that the US is so preoccupied with everything that's happening there, they're not realizing what's happening.
Dude.
And one of these days, that wall that Trump wanted to build is going to be all around the states, and they're going to be alone.
Dude, you're talking about, you know, it's going to affect you eventually. It's already affected us. So my nephew plays the Pokemon trading card game.
Yeah.
I go with him sometimes. They already, the price of those cards went up, can't remember how much, but between 20% and 40% when the initial rounds of those tariffs happened. I know that doesn't apply to tech, but the cards went up a ridiculous amount. A booster costs 80 rand for 10 cards.
That's ridiculous.
Well, I think that's important, because the fact is, it's not just going to be tech.
Yeah, everything. Yeah.
Well, that's our focus, but you have to remember it's going to affect everything, because
I think it's worth your time sitting down and going through everything that you go through and see what you rely on from imports from around the world. I don't know. It's a really worrying time. And I think that one of these days we're going to wake up and it's going to be like, Apple phones now cost $1 million. And there's nothing we're going to be able to do about it. So, yeah, keep an eye on that.
Does anybody want to split the cost of a Fallout shelter?
My advice is, though, if you are looking to import stuff from the US, do it sooner rather than later. A lot of the effects of these tariffs are not going to be felt for a while, because, I mean, people ship things ahead of time and then there's stock waiting and all that sort of stuff. So if you are looking to buy something in the States, do it sooner rather than later. Otherwise, I mean, I think everybody's going to be using Wish very soon.
Oh my gosh. Do you know that Samsung even does shipping and offshore building?
Of course. I mean, they do everything. Right, jeez. Folks, that's going to do it for us this week. Thank you so much for tuning in. Remember, Comic-Con Africa is at the end of the month. Deus Ex Machina Demon X.
Not the name
DXM.
At all.
DXM. DXM comes out
13th September.
And Trump is still not my favorite person. We'll see you next week, ladies and gentlemen. Until then, cheerio.
Bye, everybody. Bye.